Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. Today we are doing our open line, which we do every Tuesday, and today's question is, what are young people searching for from the Church? And for many of you who have come through that journey and you look back in hindsight and you wonder what would have worked for you in your youth in terms of coming into the Church, well, call us. We want to hear from you. I'll give out the number in a little bit, not right now. But in the first segment, we will speak with my friend, Dr. Greg Popchak, about the liturgy of domestic church life and essentially tips for family prayer, because family prayer is challenging. And my bride and I, with our three very young children, it's a struggle to foster time where we pray together as a family. Individual prayer is eminently more achievable than group family prayer, and yet praying intentionally as a family is so crucial for the continued upbuilding of the Christian life within the family and showing the children that this faith is what we are subsumed into, because it's what informs our entire life and is the source of our happiness. So we'll speak with Dr. Greg Popchak about that. And then after that, we go on to that question that I just presented to all of you, which is, what are young people searching for from the Church? What do young people need from the Church? What is it that's going to feed that hunger so that their souls can be set afire for Jesus Christ? Yesterday, now this is prompted by this, yesterday the Vatican unveiled a mascot for the upcoming 2025 Jubilee year. The name of this icon, if you will, is called Luce. It's done according to what's known as pop anime, and it's intended to engage a younger audience because its intention is to engage pop culture. It's also intended to be a kind of symbol that guides visitors through the Holy Year. Reception on social media has been mixed, and so we want to hear from you. Some of you might like that icon, some of you might not, but really the grander question is, how do we engage young people? What are young people searching for? And to that end, for young people who are listening, we want to hear from you. What are the ways in which your needs are being met by the Church, or what are your needs from the Church? What do you need from the Church? We'll give out that number in a little bit. For now, the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Tuesday, October 29th. It's the Feast of St. Gaetano Errico. Today's news is brought to you by Ave Maria University. Your vocation location is at avemaria.edu. The Archbishop of Cincinnati is ending a 110-year relationship with the Girl Scouts of the USA due to the group promoting gender ideology contrary to Catholic teaching. Amazon founder and Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos is defending the newspaper's decision to stop endorsing presidential candidates. Bezos writes in an article on the Post website that presidential endorsements do nothing to tip the scales of an election. NPR reports the Post has lost more than 200,000 digital subscribers since the announcement last Friday. Airlines are now required to refund passengers automatically for canceled or significantly delayed flights. Under the Department of Transportation's new rules, airlines will be required to provide cash refunds promptly without customers needing to ask. Domestic flights delayed by 3 hours or more and international flights delayed by 6 hours or more qualify for a full refund. Three separate ballot box fires in Washington and Oregon are being investigated and are said to be linked. Police in Portland yesterday found an incendiary device placed inside a ballot box that damaged three ballots. About 15 miles away in Vancouver, Washington, officers found a suspicious device that was burning next to a drop box, and another ballot box in the same region was also targeted. And Terry Garr has died at the age of 79. The Oscar-nominated actress starred in Tootsie, Mr. Mom, and Young Frankenstein. Variety reports that Garr passed away Tuesday in Los Angeles after a long battle with multiple sclerosis. From your Ave Maria Radio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. This notion of I used to have a great prayer life until I got married and had children, it's very real. And for those of you especially who are young couples who with very young children, it's a particular phase of life that demands so much of your attention that carving out dedicated, undisturbed prayer time is a virtual impossibility. And so, but we ought to have conversations about this. In fact, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek note that it's one of the most common complaints that they have on their daily EWTN radio call-in program, More to Life. And the sentiment is familiar to all of us. And we're not alone, because it's not our fault. The fact is, many of us think that Catholic spirituality and Catholic prayer life ought to be so reflective of monastic and religious traditions, clerical traditions within the church, that it creates a kind of impossible standard for those of us who are outside of the monastic, religious, clerical spheres of life. And joining me to have this conversation, as he does very wisely every week, is Dr. Greg Popchek, founder and director of CatholicCounselors.com. He and his bride, Lisa, host More to Life, the daily call-in program on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And they are the authors of over 20 books, integrating insights about faith and religion and the family. Greg, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Great to be here, Marcus. Thank you.
So, I'm going to be the first to admit this. You know how young my children are. So I can tell you right now, praying with Stephanie is just carving out dedicated, undisturbed time of prayer is sometimes a virtual impossibility.
Well, that's right. And I think that, you know, again, as you were kind of pointing out, most of what we think of as Catholic spirituality is drawn from that more monastic tradition and clerical tradition, where we think that it has to be, you know, kind of quiet and meditative and simple. And family life isn't any of those things.
Oh, gosh, no.
And so as families, you know, especially as we really reflect on the Second Vatican Council's universal call to holiness, which says that everybody's called to holiness, not just priests and religious, we need to think a little differently about how family prayer is going to look. That it's going to be messy, it's going to be a little chaotic, it's going to be noisy, and that's all okay, because that's part of the incarnational nature of family spirituality. You know, I think the spirituality of that more monastic and clerical tradition is to step back from the world, and so that we can have a perspective and see that world through God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual, I think, character of the domestic church is to bring Christ into the mess, into mm-hmm. the chaos, to a more incarnate approach. So, kind of breaking that down to, you know, what you were just saying about your daughter. You know, having that time where, you know, you're, especially for you little children, family prayer should be cuddly. It should be,
right.
You know, having the kids on your lap. It should be affectionate. It could be a little bit noisy. It could be a little bit silly. But the point is that you're bringing your family to God. And, you know, as children grow, you can do more meditative types of formal prayer, like the family rosary or chaplets or other devotions. Those are beautiful things, but they are meant to be meditative, and they tend to assume that you've got a kind of a more less formal, heartfelt approach to prayer that you're going to build on with those more formal approaches. And so, you know, simple things, praying with little younger children, you know, first of all, giving them blessings, you know,
yes.
As when you're hugging them, you know, make the sign of the cross on the back of their heads and say, you know, Jesus loves you even more than I do. When you're praying together, start by praying as a family by saying, you know, Lord, teach us how to be the family you want us to be. You know, help me to be the dad that my kids need me to be so I can bring out the best in them. You know, help me to be, you know, the mom that God that you want me to be, Lord. And you know, you kind of model this for the kids that we're all disciples together on this journey to become the family that God wants us to be. So, you know, how can I be the brother that God wants me to be? How can I be the
right.
sister, you know, that God wants me to be? And we pray about that. And I really encourage families to adopt that kind of approach to prayer. And then, you know, reflect a little bit in that prayer time on what what challenges are we facing in the day to be that family that God's calling us to be? And not use it as a lecture time, but, you know, Lord, help me to be more patient with the kids. You know, help me to be more generous with my time. Help me to be more attentive when they're telling me stories or when they're showing me their pictures, you know, and being, you know, just modeling that kind of, and going around the room, you know, from dad to mom to the kid to the older kids and on down, really reflecting on how can we cooperate with God's grace to be more of that family he wants us to be.
And, you know, Greg, all these conversations that you and I have had, you've been doing really good work at trying to chip away this false notion that we got to fit the peg of the family into the monastic peg, when in reality, yeah, acknowledging the chaos, acknowledging the mess is part of our familial experience. And that's been really affirming, I think, for all of us, and me and my bride included.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I think it's a relief to a lot of parents, but it's a very different way of thinking about prayer, you know, so, mm-hmm, you know, for example, we think that I have to get away from the mess, you know, to experience God, but really, you know, we want to bring Christ into the mess, you know, so as I'm losing my mind, and my kids are hanging on me, and I got another diaper to change, and I got another one screaming in the other room, it's okay to say, you know, Lord, come into this moment and help me to find your peace and do all the things I have to do with your love. You know, so I'm bringing Christ into that moment. I'm consecrating it, right, through my common priesthood, and I'm giving it to God, and I'm asking him to let me live out that sacrificial love in the moment. And that's a beautiful spiritual exercise. But most of us just dismiss it because it's not quiet, and it doesn't look like that monastic type of spirituality, which, and I'm not knocking those spirituality, they're beautiful, but the domestic church has a lot to offer, too, that's largely untapped.
You know, every time you share these analogies, I sometimes wonder if you've got some kind of camera into our family life, our daily family life.
Well, it's just because it's family life. You know, that there are certain things that are just common to families, and we ought, as Christian families, ought to be able to use that to build the kingdom, instead of feeling like we have to leave the family to go find God.
Right.
God,
right,
wants to be part of our family, and that's one of the other things that we encourage families to think, how we encourage families to think about family prayer on the Catholic Home app, that's Catholic HOM, where we, you know, really are discipling families every day in what we're talking about with you, is to not just think about family prayer as relegated to certain times in the day. I mean, obviously, we should have family prayer rituals, like a brief morning prayer time, a prayer at meals, a brief evening prayer time, and you know, little things throughout the day. But, you know, we really encourage families to think of Christ as part of the family. And so how can we bring Jesus along with us as we go through the day? You know, as when we experience a blessing, you know, thanking him out loud. Lord, thank you for letting me find the parking space close to the grocery store. You know, Lord, thank you for the beautiful sunrise. Or thank you for that great hug that my kid just gave me. You know, just saying it out loud, though, and acknowledging that Jesus is part of that. Or if I need help, you know, Lord, I'm kind of losing my mind right now. Help me to be gentle with my children. Help me to be patient with my daughter, you know. And, you know, praying that out loud, right? So we're modeling that the Lord is right there in the room, and he wants to talk to us. He wants us to talk to him, and we bring him along throughout the day. And that teaches our children to begin thinking of Jesus as part of their family.
I have to share this. As you're sharing all of this, it just came to mind. This past weekend, I was putting Therese down for her afternoon nap, and my bride and I try to carve out these little times of prayer, and so we say an Angelus when we put them down for the afternoon nap. And for some reason, I felt prompted to try to see if she knew the responses to the Angelus, and she did.
That's awesome.
She's 2 years old, and she did. And it goes back to what you've been trying to share with all of us, Greg, that it's about building this into our family life, so much so that, I mean, believe me, you know well, my family isn't, we don't have the most perfect dynamic, but we are making it work within God's design for the human family.
Well, none of us have the most perfect dynamic, but that's the beauty of it. We are all making it work in as you were saying, in God's design, and we're learning together. You know, we have a book called Discovering God Together. It's all about raising faithful kids, and it is this idea that we're all disciples. You know, mom and dad and the kids are all disciples of Christ, working together, learning together, growing together, and every day asking God to teach us how to be the family he wants us to be.
Well, thank you so much, Greg, for making the time. My guest, Dr. Greg Popcheck. We have open line today, 877-573-7825. Start calling now. Our lines are completely open. What do young people need from the church? 877-573-7825. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. As I mentioned in the open, yesterday the Vatican unveiled the mascot for the upcoming 2025 Jubilee year. It's called Luce, and the mascot is intended to engage younger audiences. It's prompted a lot of social media conversation, particularly about engaging young people in the Catholic Church. So my question to all of you, again, the phone number to call is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. The question is, what do young people need from the church? And, you know, I welcome calls from parents, in fact, from anyone who have some level of engagement with young people. Because the question here really has to do with the impetus of evangelization. What are young people hungry for and searching for from the church? And is the church doing a good job of answering that? What do young people need from the church? 877-573-7825. Whether you and I like it or not, for decades now, the church has been facing a crisis. And this crisis of faith is global, it's universal, and it's not just isolated to people of a particular age demographic. And young people in a particular way, though, are suffering from the onslaught of a culture that is becoming increasingly anti-God and increasingly pro-death. Those things that you and I used to take for granted as societal structures that allowed us to live flourishing human lives almost no longer exist. We used to be able to be confident that the entire village, if you will, was out looking for the best interest of children. Today, there's a real sense of skepticism. We can't trust our neighbors completely. We have to be very careful about letting our children out of our sight, no matter what their age. And the church has to respond in these trying times. So again, that phone number to call is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. The lines are completely open, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. So, talking about this Funko Pop, it's actually pop anime character called Luce, and I'm not personally very familiar with Japanese cartoons. So when I took a look at when I took a gander at the character, I remember thinking to myself, okay, that's very cartoonish. I don't quite understand what's going on. And I wasn't the only one. And since then, we've had people attempt to provide explanations. But regardless of the explanations that have come up, social media is split. Very few people say that they're neutral about it. Either they are split for completely disliking it and thinking it's ludicrous, or at the lowest level, absurd. Or they completely love it, and they think it's wonderful, that it's actually going to help in the work of evangelization. Very few number amongst those who are neutral. And that's what prompted this discussion. What do young people need from the church? For those of you who are parents, who are parenting young people, youth, children, you are seeing the particular needs of your children, and you're trying to meet them where they are at. You're trying to feed those needs. And a lot of this has to do with providing reasons for the faith. So 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We're going to Mike in Albany, New York, listening on WOPG. Mike, what do you think young people need from the faith?
Well, Marcus, I know my children growing up, they needed structure. They needed truth. They needed everything contrary to what Francis is pushing. He's doing things that are ambiguous, that leave children questioning. Now, back before all these crazy changes, there was 80% of the church was 80% of the people were attending Mass. It's the young people don't want to go at all now. And anime characters, what is that? I mean, how is that going to, why don't we get back to the basics, the Baltimore Catechism, and teach these children the truth, that there is a hell, that you are going to heaven if you do God's command, if you keep God's will and his commandments. But they need that structure again, and mm-hmm. there's a great thirst for it. You can see that even traditional communities are they're so full of young people, and I think yeah. we're thirsting for that.
Well, thank you so much for that, Mike. That was Mike from Albany. I want to make some things clear here. If you read the writings of the Holy Father, it becomes very clear that he's not trying to change church teachings. Could there be greater clarity in some of the messages that are coming out from the hierarchy? Perhaps. But one thing we can say with certitude is that there have been certain directional and even lexicanal changes in how the church has presented the faith, especially in the modern era. And the church is attempting to respond to particular crises in the faith. It's not like we've always had a golden age. But I will agree with Mike completely that young people need structure. In fact, at 36 right now, I can tell you, I still need structure. We all do. And the unshakable hierarchical teaching of the church that comes from the hand of Christ himself becomes the structure par excellence in the authority of the magisterium. 877-573-7825. Let us know, what do you think young people need from the church? 877-573-7825. We have open lines. We're going to Lou in Detroit, listening on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Lou, what do you think young people need from the church?
What I think they need is, you know that saying, the best defense is a good offense?
Mm-hmm.
The church needs to be on offense. They need to be speaking the truth, evangelizing, talking what it's like, life with Jesus Christ, not just God all the time, Jesus Christ, speaking about why the church believes in what they believe in, to bring these youths in. I think if they hear the truth and understand it, They'll come in. That's my thoughts on it. In fact, like offense, this past Sunday, the second reading was Hebrews 5, and it spoke about Melchizedek and the priesthood, the weakness of the priesthood. I wish our priest would have said something about communion, Melchizedek, priests, weakness, why they're appointed, the truth about the church, how it's biblical. Go on offense. They're not on offense at all. They're on defense.
I I think there's a lot of truth there, that the church could and should go on the offense. Now, that's one of the things that we attempt to do here on Ave Maria in the Afternoon, which is engage the culture, not just where it's at, but also to continue to speak those very truths that the culture has attempted to cast out of the public sphere. Again, 877-573-7825. We've got just enough time for one more call, and as we're getting that call lined up, one of the things I want to, first of all, we have more lines open, 877-573-7825. Keep them coming. We've got multiple segments coming up as well, and we'll be able to hear from you. One of the things I do want to highlight is that's completely right. We are the church. We can't wait for the hierarchy to engage this. In fact, you and I need to rise up, and we're going to Deacon Andrew in Springfield, Massachusetts. Deacon Andrew, what do you think young people need from the church?
I believe they need fathers. I mean, the Pew study has shown that men, if they're strong in their faith, their children will be strong in their faith. And it needs men, husband and wives, to be joyful about their faith. I mean, we can teach whatever we want, but if we show them the love of Christ and what Christ has done for us and what the Holy Mother Church does for us, then it's different. It's completely different.
I agree, and it's one of those things I continue to preach on here on Ave Maria in the Afternoon. That was Deacon Andrew from Springfield, Massachusetts. The church needs men to rise up. We need to become virtuous men, virtuous men may rise up to become husbands and fathers. Pope Benedict XVI, during his papacy, highlighted this, and I remember it transformed my entire paradigm of thinking about the faith. He talked about a crisis of fatherhood, and where there is a crisis of fatherhood, there is a crisis of understanding the godhood of the Creator. Because one cannot think about God as Father without an earthly father as that mirrored representation. 877-573-7825. Keep those calls coming in. We have open lines, and we truly want to hear from all of you. What do young people need from the church? 877-573-7825. Stay tuned for Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Get detailed descriptions of Ave Maria Radio guests on their website, avemariaradio.net. Go to the archives, find your favorite program, and then find links or books mentioned in that program. That's avemariaradio.net. Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is sponsored by Workforce Pay Hub, providing payroll, time tracking, HR management, and benefits administration, all with a dedicated customer-centric service team. More information can be found at workforcepayhub.com.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Most experts don't think like you do. Go to the computer. Type in child, self-esteem, search. Last time I looked, 31 million options. The experts believe self-esteem is the preeminent moral virtue. Type in child, humility, search. Crickets. Why? When was the last time you heard a secular expert talk about humility? But that's at the very core of the virtues we want to teach our children. Always remember one thing. When an expert tells you how to raise your child, you have to ask a question. Is this expert of the same worldview that I am? Does he or she value the same virtues I want to impart to my children?
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We are doing our studio spotlight, essentially open line. And our studio spotlight for this week is, what do young people need from the church? This is prompted by the Vatican announcing that next year's Jubilee year will have characters that are drawn out of this pop anime style called Luce and Friends. And so the question is, what do young people need from the church? We're going to Mary in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio. Mary, what do you think young people need from the church?
Hi. I have kids that are in their youth, college age, and I think what they're needing from the church, it's like the step-by-step, you know, like definitely draw them in to engage. And I do think the churches are doing a wonderful job with youth groups, but I think getting those kids to be a part of that, but then also to carry it on from there. And I think they're also looking for, I think that the church could just, I don't know how to say this, like the family unit. I think we really need to stress what a blessing and what a need that our society and our faith needs, with strong families. You know, be bold, go out, have many children, be, you know, mm-hmm. have your career, but also don't be shunned from thinking that creating a family, having a stay-at-home mom or anything like that is, you know, that should just be like, we need to build our whole faith. And our youth are going to be the ones to do that.
Right.
And so just celebrate the family unit, I think, is something that...
I agree. I truly agree. Thank you so much for that, Mary. That was Mary in St. Louis. And the number to call is 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. The question is, what do young people need from the church? We want to hear from you, especially if you live around or work with young people. What are they saying they need from the church? And if you're a young person who wants to offer your insight, please do call in 877-573-7825. We're going to Mike in New Orleans. Or did I mispronounce that, Mike?
No, you're good. It's New Orleans. quickly, I think the question itself kind of falls short. I think the question itself is a failure. It implies mm-hmm. that the church itself is inadequate. What do young people need from the church? As if implying that the church is inadequate, which mm-hmm. itself is just not a good premise, not a good place to start from. The young people don't need anything. They need the deposit of faith. Hey, let's go back to where the church was 100 years ago. It worked well for 2,000 years. It worked well all the way up until we had guitar masses and things like that. So, you know, to try, and once we started doing that, we started losing kids and families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen parishes that are just full of young people, young couples with young kids,
mm-hmm.
Catholic families, rich and vibrant. So, and they come for the faith. They
yeah.
don't come for all the nonsense. So it's not as if the church needs to change. The church needs to continue what she's doing, what she has done for 2,000 years, and encourage people to explore and discover the deposit of faith and become better and stronger Catholics. And,
well, thank you for that, Mike. So I'm going to respectfully disagree here with regard to not asking how the church ought to respond. Now, this is following in the tradition of everything that has happened primarily since the Second Vatican Council, but even before that, in terms of trying to usher in this new breath of the Holy Spirit and the work of the new evangelization, because we were noticing a decline in church attendance and let alone catechesis long before the Second Vatican Council. There was a need for the church to respond in this way. So, but Mike does bring up a very crucial point. Asking this question of what do young people need from the church doesn't imply that the church therefore needs to change what she is. But instead, as with 2,000 years of the intellectual patrimony, to meet the very specific hunger of young people, which is ultimately the perennial truth of the deposit of faith in the gospel. So thank you for that, Mike. That was very good. Again, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We're going to Kathy in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And the question again is, what do young people need from the church? Kathy, thank you for calling.
Hi. I agree with all your previous callers, but I do have to say the feedback I get from my adult children
mm-hmm.
is they want more of a today type of a message. So maybe during the homily, the priest or the deacon could, I mean, I know every priest or deacon are not wonderful public speakers. I understand that. Could there be like maybe a template or something from the archbishop that could give a more today type of example of how the Catholic Church believes, and maybe it would draw some more of these adults back?
When you say today type of example, you mean specifically engaging the moral issues that we have going on in the public sphere today?
Yeah, moral issues, or maybe just something from the pulpit saying, you know, relating more to what the young adults are experiencing in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, maybe so there it's a little bit more relatable.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Now, I do want to, in response to Kathy's suggestion, honestly, the church has done a tremendous amount, especially since the advent of the Second Vatican Council and the impetus of evangelizing the media. There are innumerable speakers out there, and a lot of them clergy as well, who have sought to engage the public sphere in terms of modern teachings. Now, I don't have a lot of time to go into details, but Ave Maria Radio, EWTN, becomes one of those most powerful resources for that. So, really, the resources are there, and maybe the challenge here is for all of us to be better about channeling those resources to those who need to hear it. And radio, Catholic radio and Catholic TV are silent evangelization, is subtle evangelization. 877-573-7825. We're going to Mary in Alabama, listening on Sirius XM. Mary, what do you think young people need from the church?
Well, I like the idea of in meeting the kids where they're at right now with the anime presentation. I'm a sixth grade teacher in a public school and also teach sixth grade faith formation. And whether or not a lot of us adults like the anime style, it's what is popular right now. I can see where the split would be on that, because as the parent of a daughter that got into anime
mm-hmm.
In the middle school, and kind of delved into some of the darkness of anime.
Mm-hmm.
I was very apprehensive about it, but now I see a lot of different types of anime books that are really appealing to kids all the way through high school and up now. So mm-hmm. I think it's a great way to present it, to present the faith, you know, in a cartoonish type way that can appeal to all ages, you know, just as long as we're, you know, presenting it, as long as it's presented, I'm sure it's going to be presented well with the Catholic faith.
I think
it's a good idea.
Right, respectfully and reverend. I agree with you, and I'll have to concede. Animation, let alone Japanese anime, I know very little to nothing about it. So I'm not an expert here to be able to say what's good, what's not, and what has come out in that field. But I will say my own opinion of it is it's innocuous enough. I didn't think much of it. I still don't think much of it at all. I don't know how much good it's going to do. But I still want to hear from all of you, and I thank you for that input. 877-573-7825. What do young people need from the church? Call now. We still have lines open. 877-573-7825. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe. Daily Mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
How do we listen to God? Contrary to popular opinion that God only speaks to the privileged few, the Catholic Catechism tells us he communicates to all of us through our conscience. On our hearts, in our most secret core, God has inscribed the moral law. This law calls man to live and to do what is good and avoid evil. In the aloneness of the sanctuary that is our conscience, our Creator's voice echoes in our depths. When he listens to his conscience, says the Catechism, the prudent man can hear God speaking. Conscience is a judgment of reason whereby the human person recognizes the moral quality of a concrete act about to be performed, is already performing, or has already been performed. John Henry Cardinal Newman defined conscience as the law of the mind whereby God speaks to us behind a veil. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Most parents would like to raise generous kids, but where do you start? Well, authentic generosity doesn't start with serving strangers. It starts with looking for little ways families can make each other's lives easier at home. Start a new habit in your family. make it a rule that everyone should look for one way to leave a room better than they found it. It doesn't matter who left the coat off the hook or who left the toy on the floor. If you see it, deal with it. The important point is, good teams don't bicker about whose job something is, because everybody on the team is just committed to giving their all to get the job done. Practicing generous service at home is one of the most important things Catholic families can do. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. What do young people need from the church? We are taking your calls. It's our studio spotlight today. 877-573-7825. We're going to Todd in Houston, Texas, listening on the Ave Maria radio app. Todd, what do young people need from the church?
Well, what I think they need is a culture of Christianity. We used to, when I grew up, live in a where the culture was mainly Christian, and now it's so hard. We listened to Dr. Popchak earlier about how to bring it into the family, but if even then, if you don't have, you know, if your extended family's not practicing the faith or the kids aren't seeing it around them and their friends and stuff, it's really hard for them to keep the faith, even if we raise them in the faith.
Well, thank you so much for that, Todd. And I agree. In fact, it's one of the core things that we talk about here on Ave Maria in the afternoon. Primarily that we need to, this is not about trying to save the culture, transform, this is rebuilding the culture by reclaiming those Eucharistic liturgical roots. So yes, rebuilding a culture that's grounded on Judeo-Christianity, which is the foundational bedrock for flourishing societies and flourishing young people. Let's move on to... As we get the next call lined up, let's move on to Kevin in Pascal, Washington, I believe.
Hey, how are you doing?
Kevin, I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I think what really needs to happen is we need to bring the church into the earth, into the day and age now with the music, as far as everything goes. The music, I know a lot of kids go to the other churches and stuff.
We seem to
instead
have...
When you go to the church over here, in the Catholic Church, it's pretty much the same old routine over and over and over, and the same, you know, music, and everybody gets down on things. Kind of liven it up a little bit.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for your contribution. In some ways, I can agree with Kevin's sentiments, and in some ways, I want to say that there is a perennial, transcendent, and elevated beauty to the music that is preserved in the hierarchy of the church, the patrimony of the church. And those are things that we should never lose. In fact, if anything, we should reform the culture to form a greater appreciation for those particular truths. So, instead of just trying to throw out babies with the bathwater, instead, let's form our children to come to an appreciation of higher artistry, and so that when they hear these greater hymns in the liturgy, for example, they can see that there's a divine movement at play here. 877-573-7825, what do young people need from the church? We're going to John in Lubbock, Texas. John, what listening on Our Lady of Victory Radio. Yeah. John, what do young people need from the church?
Well, I think they need two things. One is they need to be challenged more.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask nothing of people, you will get nothing out of them.
Amen.
So right now, we can be a Catholic, and we can be indistinguishable from any other Christian or non-Christian in the United States. We go to church, we just go to a different church. We don't act any differently. We used to have... meatless Fridays, so people would know that you were meatless. We don't do as many holy days of obligation. And then also in our personal devotional aspects, we're not challenged more. Do you want to receive communion on the tongue? Do you want to receive it in the hand? Do you want it from the little old person, or do you want it from the priest? And this, you know, 1 hour fast, you can eat on the way to Mass, practically, so you're not being challenged. The other thing I think the church should do is speak to us without words. You know, that's why movies are so helpful and music is so helpful. They speak, the culture is speaking to us without using any words. So when we do all the irreverent mechanisms for receiving communion and the whole mass is an irreverent thing, we're being told by the church that this, you know, this is not important. Other people have said that many times. So I think they need to challenge us and speak to us without words.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that, John. I agree that we need to be unabashed with the call of Christianity. And in fact, I want to kind of expand John's point a little. The gospel is itself a massive challenge. And if we as Catholics were to live out the gospel, live out our Christian duty, and to challenge people with the presentation of the gospel and what the gospel calls us to, then not only will we not take it for granted, we will be able to foster a new generation that understands that this gospel entails the entire onus of the laying down of one's life for Christ and ultimately for the salvation of the souls of others. Let's move on from there to Phyllis in Lincoln, Nebraska. Phyllis, what do you believe young people need from the church?
I believe that we need to just stick with building on the rock and not on the sand. I come from a traditional diocese. We do not have female servers or Eucharistic ministers because we use the tradition that that's the men's role to get them involved. Our focus missionaries on our campuses are doing a fantastic job. We can't be afraid to get out there and present our faith to our youth. On our campus, too, they have a Catholic fraternity and sorority right there connected to the Newman Center.
Mm-hmm.
We have 17 new seminarians just this year, and we average about 8 or 9 usually. In my parish, we have several large families. And it's, you know, we're being fed from the gospel, and it's not being kind of watered down according to what we want to hear or, you know, kind of what the culture is going to. I think we need to get back to those roots. Like the last caller said, we need to be challenged.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Phyllis, and I echo that sentiment. We do need to be challenged in the faith. In fact, a blasé, watered-down version of the faith is not only uninviting, it's repulsive. And thankfully, we've got so many good priests and bishops in today's day and age. And I also want to say a word in encouragement to the fact that different dioceses have the jurisprudence of different bishops, and so they discern what's best for their dioceses, and we can thank God and trust in the Holy Spirit leading each of them for what's best for their diocese. Let's move on from there to Martin in Michigan. Martin, what do you think young people need from the church?
Well, I think they need some community. I think they need some respect. I came into the church at age 18. I was evangelized by other denominations in college at age 18. And I found a community of other believers for Bible study, for prayer meetings, and ultimately looked for a community to join, so I shopped around. I found the Newman Center. I was attracted to the community at the university. I was attracted to the guitar mass. But what I've noticed in raising my family, wife and I have been together for 54 years now, and our kids are out of the nest. Grandkids are kind of left the faith. But the church has ignored the foundation blocks. We have men's retreats. We have women's retreats. We have youth group retreats. Where's the family unity? Family's the basic block for the faith. Where are our family nights? Where are social nights? And when I look back in my youth and my kids, the last thing I'm going to listen to is somebody telling me what to do. I want to have respect. I want to have a dialogue.
Right.
Well, I want, if somebody wants to talk to me about the faith, listen to my concerns. We're all about telling, but not very much good about listening to what our youth has to say, what questions they have. What are they concerned about?
Well, okay, thank you, Martin. We're running out of time in this segment, and I'd like to move on to other callers, but I want to highlight your concerns. In fact, this is one of the concerns that's on the Holy Father's mind throughout the enactment of this synodal way. We have still yet to see what that is going to look like at the level of parishes and the diocese, but a big part of it is this notion of building community, of listening to concerns, and trying to meet the needs of those concerns with the perennial truth of the gospel. We are going to Patricia in Virginia, listening on Sirius XM. Patricia, what do you believe young people need from the church?
I think we've compartmentalized children a lot in this society.
Mm-hmm.
And the church has done it because of the abuse crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to 50 years ago, children in a faith community don't have the access to know and to see and to witness faithful Catholics living out their faith. And I think it's something that we have to return to through a real look at parish life and try to encourage the participation of families and adults to really foster community, so that children see people and get to know people who are actually living the faith. It's that witness that's going to stay with them as they develop and grow up and mm-hmm. move to home.
Well, thank you, Patricia. I actually think that's a very powerful contribution, and it's actually the place where we have to end our studio spotlight today. As we round off this hour, I want to thank all of you for making calls. And I want to say this, that at the heart of it all, just agreeing with many of your sentiments, that there is a impetus of evangelization conveying to people of today the perennial truth of Jesus Christ, but in a forever new manner, drawing from this beauty that is ever ancient and ever new. And that's the work of the new evangelization. Ultimately, this is going to begin with all of us who embrace the fervor of the gospel presented as a true challenge to young people. Not only do they need it for their salvation, we need them to preach the gospel. Until next time, I'm Marcus Peter.